friends. Welcome to the 12th episode of the Get Cyber Smart podcast, your 7 to 10 minute educational look in this crazy thing we call cyber. I'm your host, Darren Mott, and in this episode, we are going to talk about the one threat I forgot a couple weeks ago, cyber espionage. Well, thanks again for taking the time to listen to, and or in this case, watch the Cyber Get Cyber Smart podcast. If you're listening to this on your podcast app, there's also a video version of this on YouTube. It'll be the second video in this series. And so this episode, I went back and looked in my little two-week hiatus as I was getting my podcast equipment fixed and realized that I left a threat out when I was going through the different cyber threats, and that was cyber espionage. So for this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about what cyber espionage is so that you understand the differences between the different types of cyber espionage, and that will kind of complete our look into the whole cyber threat spectrum that we talked about from hacktivism, cybercrime, insider, cyber espionage, cyber terrorism, and cyber warfare. And then hopefully next week, we'll talk some mitigation strategies and how to start keeping yourself safe, in addition to, you know, all the other stuff we're trying to learn here as we talk about this crazy thing we call cyber. So again, if you are watching this on YouTube, you see the PowerPoint. If you are listening to this, I'm gonna talk about the information through a PowerPoint slide deck, if you will. And so let's talk a little bit about what is cyber espionage. So cyber espionage is essentially actions taken by an adversary to gather sensitive or classified data. So we're going to talk about what the adversary is here in a second, but what is that data they're looking for and why are they looking for it? Well, this includes intellectual property, national defense information, and geopolitical intelligence. These are the three main key areas that when a company suffers from a cyber espionage attack, this is what the bad guys are looking for. So intellectual property is obviously those things a company creates that makes them the money. I mean, it's what gives them a profit. It's what makes them, you know, at the top of their particular business sector, if you will. It's the stuff they create that is special to them. And if you lose it, then that's problematic for you because someone could steal it, duplicate it, and undersell you with a cheaper version. This happens a lot in the national defense realm, which is why national defense information is here as well, because sometimes national defense information and intellectual property go together because obviously a lot of states, a lot of different countries, and when I say states, I'm talking about different countries, are looking to steal that information so they don't have to do the research and development to create missiles and to create military aircraft and things like that. So we talk a lot about national defense information and intellectual property, but there's also non-national defense related intellectual property. This is could be, you know, if you there was a case out of San Francisco that the FBI had years ago where the item that was being stolen from the company was called titanium dioxide. So if you want to know what titanium dioxide is, it is the thing that makes toothpaste, that makes the cream in Oreos white. It is and there's a company in California that's kind of at the top of the industry when it comes to titanium dioxide, and a Chinese, let me rephrase that. An individual associated with the country of China was trying to steal the formula for what this company did to create this titanium dioxide. He was ultimately discovered, prosecuted, and actually went to jail for stealing the information. But there's a lot of instances where information that's not necessarily militarily related is still stolen through cyber espionage means. If we go back before cyber existed, before the internet was around, you know, you had to steal information from companies the old-fashioned way. Send people in to try to find the information or to find an insider to give you the information. It was very time-consuming, very expensive. But now with the advent of cyber and the internet, it's very easy to go around and get that information. So one of the other things they're looking for, obviously we talk about geopolitical intelligence. You see this a lot. This is spying, is really what we're talking about, is spying. If you want to take a different tack on what, so it's a cyber spying, I guess, if you want to call it that. And so there are really two different types of this. There's state-sponsored and there's competitor-sponsored. So what is the difference there? So state-sponsored is what you often hear referred to in the news and by cyber companies as advanced persistent threats. That's a unique term to this type of cyber threat because the words there actually mean something. So there's actually threats when it's advanced, meaning that the folks doing it are very, very well versed in the cyber world. They know what they're doing. They're well prepared. They are well funded. And when they say the word persistent, they get into a network and they stay in there for a while. So the average time for most companies to realize that they've had an intrusion is roughly 300 days, the last number I saw, somewhere in that range. In other words, bad guy, a state-sponsored bad guy gets into your network through a variety of different means that we'll talk about in later podcasts, and they stick around there because most times the company or the network owner doesn't realize the bad guy is in there. So that's why they are persistent. Who are the main culprits? The ones you would think about. China, Russia, Iran, obviously the big ones. They have different reasons why they do what they do. And then there's other countries that do the same thing. Any country that spies on another country is likely engaging in cyber espionage, using the cyber capabilities they have to get information from the places they want to get the information from. And then the other type is your competitor type of cyber espionage. This is very simply corporate espionage and corporate intelligence. Now, I list those two things there because they're kind of a little different. So when we talk corporate espionage, we're talking company A stealing from company B to basically steal their intellectual property and try to profit off it. It could be someone leaves a company, goes to another company, takes the client list. That would be corporate espionage if that client list was deemed protective or proprietary to the company it was taken from. Corporate intelligence is not necessarily illegal. It is using cyber means to get information on your competitors. You kind of hear corporate intelligence a lot. That's really not cyber espionage in the sense that it's anything illegal. It kind of is cyber espionage because it's intelligence gathering. Espionage is largely just intelligence gathering in one way, shape, or form. I should have said that up front. But from a corporate intelligence perspective, you can do that legally without really violating any laws. There's a lot of public information out there about different companies. And if you are a competitor and you go and you find that information, that open source information, there's nothing illegal with that. It's when you try to gain access to your competitor's network illegally by hacking in, then you have corporate espionage, which of course is illegal and certainly a problem if you were to do that. So that is really the cyber espionage threat in a very quick, 7-minute overview. Now, who worries about corporate espionage, or who worries about cyber espionage rather? If you're a company, you worry about cyber espionage. If you're an individual, not so much. I mean, if you're sitting at home right now watching this on YouTube, do you have to worry about China getting into your network and stealing information on your home network? Not really. It's not a threat that you have to worry about. But if you work in the clear defense community, if you work for the government, then you have to worry about espionage from a bad actor getting into your network to steal that geopolitical or national defense information. If you're a business, you have to worry about nation states. Specifically, China does a lot of intellectual property theft against private companies, but they also do it against public companies. So they kind of run both ends there. So you have to worry about that if you're a business owner. So this is cyber espionage largely focused on the business community, not to say that they wouldn't target you individually because they certainly are looking for those people to become insiders. So that's a whole different area. If you want more information, just Google search or use Bing or whatever your search engine is of choice. Look up cyber espionage. You'll get a lot of information about that online. CrowdStrike and FireEye are two good places to go to if you want a real quick look at cyber espionage and how they look at it. They are the two main companies. And there's others that do it, but they're the two big ones that manage and label and identify the advanced persistent threats. So you can obviously go and look at them. So with that, I thank you for your time for listening or watching on YouTube, if you will. Obviously, if you have questions or feedback, you can go ahead and email me, Darren@cybersmart.com. I'm always willing to try and improve this as best I can. And until next week, make sure that you know and you remember that knowledge is protection. The more you know, the better you're going to be, because if you get a little cyber smarter, you'll get a whole lot cyber safer. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch up with you next week.